go?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the Newport advisory committee meeting. We would like to welcome a guest, and we will move our public comment to the top of the meeting. And we're glad you're here. I can't see you, but welcome.
She's coming. Yeah, I'm Cynthia Jacoby from Newport. I'm one of the city councilors, and thank you for giving me a few minutes of your time. I have some information to impart to you about a new program under the Newport Public Arts Committee. We want to expand the number and scope of public sculptures. And right now we are exploring different places around Newport where we could put them. We have identified two spots at the public library. We have mentioned these locations to Laura, and I think she's pretty enthusiastic about it. Here's how the program works. We're modeling it after the programs which are in place in Florence and in Lake Oswego. They have standard plinths which the sculptures sit on, and we would send out information to various artists, an RFP, which they would reply to, send in the ideas of their sculpture. You know, in some instances, we might give them a hint of maybe something suitable for the public library, suitable for other parts of town. And then the sculpture chosen by the Public Arts Committee would be in place for 2 years. During that time, it would be for sale. The artists would get a commission. The city would get a little bit of a fee to put back into the funding. So this is a great way to get a lot of really good quality public art for not a big investment, and to just spread the spirit of public arts in Newport. So I just wanted you to be alert to that, and we will be approaching you about using the library grounds. So more to come. Thank you. Do you guys have any questions for Cynthia?
I'm sorry. I have one quick question.
Sure.
Just from a note-taking perspective. Cynthia, that sounds super great. But did you say that in terms of the piece being on sale, that the artist will get a fee, the city will get a small fee, mm-hmm. and then your public arts committee gets a separate fee, or are you tied in with what the city gets?
No, the there would probably be a split of 70% for the artist, 30% for the city, and that 30% would go back into a fund to help fund more public art.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Thanks for having me come.
Thank you, Cynthia.
That was excellent. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. All right. So next will be the approval of minutes. And are there any comment on the minutes?
I vote to approve.
All right.
I can second that. Yeah, there. Or unless it's a conflict of interest.
In what way?
I wrote them.
Oh. Yeah, no. Okay, so we've got a first. Great, thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Great.
Public comment in the minutes. Yep.
Okay. So the minutes have been accepted.
Woohoo!
Getting back to my agenda. Okay.
And Gretchen's here now. And Ellen.
Pardon me?
Gretchen's here now. She's by your flags.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, thanks, everyone.
Hello. So we are going to skip the librarian's report because Laura gets whatever time is left at the end. And we're going to move forward to the discussion item starting with 4A, Library Services Agreement between the City and Lincoln County Library District.
Okay, so I put all the attachments that were presented to City Council on Monday night because we had a City Council meeting, and I presented an annual report to City Council during the work session, and then on the agenda we had the Library Services Agreement between the City of Newport and the Lincoln County Library District, and I just wanted you guys to see all of the documents, including Spencer, my boss, his report. The contract, the agreement has been accepted, but they want to review the agreement a year prior to the 3 years when it's supposed to expire to see about circulation being a factor in the new formula. And by that point, the hope is that we will all be on a shared ILS system in Lincoln County, and we'll have updated circulation data across the entire system. Because one of the problems that we're running into is that we don't have accurate data, and we had to do quite a bit of cleanup for Newport, because what would happen is everybody who is South Beach would be considered Lincoln County Library District, and that's not actually true. There's pockets that are considered city, and so we had to clean up a lot of that. We had to clean up our database with everything, and our records are updated in Newport, but that is not the case with everywhere else, and we have to put some clean parameters around how everybody is collecting data. So that would give us some time over the next 2 years to be able to do that, bring everybody together, and then the city would like to review the agreement a year out before it expires to see about circulation data being added into the formula. I don't know if you guys have questions, but that's the summary of the discussion on Monday night.
Nice job, Laura. Very succinct.
I was trying to be.
Any questions for Laura? No. Okay. I recall that we had talked about doing anything we had to vote on early.
Yep.
So I think that we need to vote on 4D.
Yep.
So should we skip to that?
Let's go to that. Let me grab it real quick. It's the very end of the package.
So we're skipping ahead to 4D 2.9 Library of Things Policy and Lending Agreement.
So this is the first go, you guys, at the this policy, so we can start circulating some of our Library of Things items. And so I laid out like an overview of what a Library of Things collection is. The very, very end. And then the types of materials included in the collection. I didn't want to be very specific because I think it's going to change based on the needs of the community, space, and all the information about the types of materials that we would have would be available on our website. Like, we create a special webpage for it, and then it would also be in the catalog that people would be able to use. I laid out the procurement of materials, how we would evaluate the collection, the library's use of the things, guidelines for borrowing and use, loan periods and fines, also tying in our fee schedule that was approved this past fiscal year, putting that in there, property use and liability, and then I also created a form, a lending agreement form, that people would have to sign that would hold them accountable for returning materials. So I don't know if you have any changes, if you have any questions about this, but this was the kind of the first go. And I looked at other policies that libraries had put together regarding their Library of Things. And I tried to be as thorough as possible, but not also kind of pigeonhole us into a situation too with this. So you're going to see a lot of red because it's the first go.
So I found things that might need a correction.
And I have a question.
Let's go with the question first, and then we'll have Yvonne talk about the changes.
Okay, so my question is addressing the items that, is there a portion in the document that's going to show the devaluation of items over time?
No, because that's not something that we usually do.
Okay.
with even in the fee schedule. So if somebody would lose an item and they don't bring it back, they would be charged the actual cost for the item. That would be something that's in our ILS system for the item. The cost would be in there. And if we put that in the fee schedule, like the document would be ridiculous. It's already like 3 pages for the library. And so it was easier just to say the actual cost of the item because we would put it in the record for the item.
I have a follow-up. By that, like if I search for an item through the system, will it tell me what the replacement cost is so I can decide if I'm willing to check out something that costs $300 to replace or not?
Yes, when we actually get the stuff in the system, it will. It'll have the actual cost in the record.
Okay.
That was kind of our easier way to tackle that with a fee schedule, because otherwise you'd have to list every single item in the library of things, and I'd be coming back to City Hall.
But they can be put on notice for the replacement cost.
Yep.
Okay. Melly, did you have any other follow-up questions from that?
No, that was good. That's why she has a big brain. So.
Okay. Yvonne, let's start with you and your corrections, and then if anyone else thinks of a question or a correction as we're going, that would be great.
Okay, so this might take me a second because I was actually, as I was reading it, I did a photo of them and circled the word, but now I'm realizing I was too zoomed in. But one of them would be in the heading is proper use and liability.
Was proper, is it proper use? Proper use and liability.
So in that section.
Okay.
If we go, I would guess, maybe it's like the third sentence or the third paragraph, whatever you'd like to say. And it says, will be asked to sign a copy.
Oh, sign a copy. Okay. It's not the ED. Okay, so I got to fix
that. These are little corrections.
Okay. Do you guys see it? Where it says patrons will be asked to sign. It was an extra ED. I got a little excited. Mm-hmm. Copy of the library things lending agreement. I added an extra ED.
And then actually another correction was just a few lines up from that where it says responsibility for a children's use of library materials. Is that responsibility for a child's use of library
responsibility materials? Responsibility for a child. Yeah, child's use, not children's.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a child's use of library materials regardless of format or content lies with the parent or guardian, not with the library. So the REN is taken out of that.
And then the third one is the word should be used, but it was typed in as Sue.
Use. Okay, so it's not supposed to be Sue. We do not want to sue for.
Right. Exactly.
By this point, I was very tired on Saturday of loading all the documents. I think my eyes were tired and my hands were going too quickly.
Are you making these corrections? Because I can't find
it
anywhere.
Got it.
Okay.
You're good.
Great.
I spent way too much time with this policy, Gretchen.
The last one is probably, it's the next line down from that. To protect against loss is the borrower's. And I feel like there should
the
be
responsibility to protect against loss is the borrower's. It should be the borrower's responsibility. The responsibility to protect against loss.
The borrower's responsibility with an apostrophe.
Borrower's
possessive.
Yeah, so what it should say, I forgot a word. The responsibility to protect against loss is the borrower's responsibility. I just forgot a word.
Mm-hmm. That's all I had.
Anything else, you guys? I have all the changes written down on my policy.
Way to go, Laura.
I just have a nerd question, Laura. Yeah. I thought we normally had stuff like A, B underneath 2.9. Is that the way the rest of code is, or am I just misremembering?
It'll probably be A, B.
So, like, you'll put A in front of overview, B in front of types?
Yes. Part of the thing we're running into is that we have to reformat all of the policy manual with this.
We have to revote on that.
Why don't you make the motion with me being able to add the letters in there?
Okay.
With the suggested changes so that I can do it. Then I don't have to bring it back to you guys in January.
Okay. So I'm making a motion to accept the Library of Things policy with the corrections suggested by Yvonne that you have noted, and with the ability to correct any numbering or alphabetical lettering as meets the formatting requirements.
I will second the motion.
Who seconded that? I'm sorry.
It's Maddie.
Yay, okay, Maddie. Thank you.
Do we have any further comments or discussion?
I came on Monday and showed off some of our Library of Things items to City Council, and it was very fun. I was like, I'm bringing the library to you. And so I brought the ukulele and all these things. So the whole council, like, counter over here was, like, full of Library of Things items in my big bag. It's very exciting.
Too much fun, Laura. So I haven't heard any questions or comments, so we'll move on to voting. All those in favor?
I do have one. Does the, like, passes to the aquarium and those things, does that fall under Library of Things?
It does, because it's going to expand.
Whoa. Cool.
Okay. I know. I talked to somebody today, actually, because I was part of a panel for Leadership Lincoln. Gretchen, your husband, was in there asking really good questions. And he does the boat tours over in the bay.
The Discovery tours?
Well, not like, well, the, I guess the kayak tours.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, you're going to be one of them. You're going to be one of our Culture Pass people. Very exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to work that angle next.
Great question. Any other follow-ups or questions or comments?
Cool.
We can play show and tell with all the items. You guys can play with them. It's very exciting. We have like a giant Connect Four, and we have giant Jenga and giant Yahtzee and Boatsy Ball and a Makey Makey, which deals with coding. And, like, you can teach kids how to code and what gives electricity and play, like, Pac-Man on the computer with them. It's really sweet.
That's cool.
I'm really excited.
Are you going to have, like, a case display or something to show people all these things?
We are.
Awesome.
Where's it going to be?
It's probably going to be in the locked case, but then I have to also, we're also waiting for facilities maintenance to get us some other locking area, too, so we can show things off, too.
Cool.
But where in the library will it be?
It's going to be over by the adult graphic novel. I'm excited.
I don't know why we're whispering, but we're whispering into microphones now. But we'll move on to voting. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously, which brings us all the way back to 4B. Laura.
Yay! So last year I talked to you guys about the Oregon Public Library statistical report. Okay. I gave you quite a bit of information. And with this, I put together a PowerPoint presentation that I actually presented to City Council on Monday night. So I want to kind of run through this because the statistic report, the information ties to our strategic plan. And I promise you guys that I'll give you updates on this stuff, right? So good news is we have 7 goals as part of our strategic plan. We're a little less than a year and a half in. We'll be a year and a half in December 4th, actually, or December 7th will be a year and a half in. And we've already completed 4 of the 7 goals, okay? So really exciting. We're required to turn this in every single year as part of being a public library. And the information, like the questions change a little bit every year. And so we don't necessarily know until the report's coming out that we should attract something. So one thing I kind of want to point out is when I was a baby librarian, when I first was involved with the statistical report, you used to count meeting room statistics. and used to count how many people were coming to the meeting rooms. That went away shortly after I started working in public libraries, and then it's been brought back this year. And then they've broken out like programming data, 0 to 5, 6 to 11, and that's not typically how we count statistics, okay? So I want to give you guys kind of premise with that. So when I go through this report with you, the PowerPoint presentation, you guys kind of understand that. Ask questions, okay? I gave you a lot of information because I want you to be advocating for us and know kind of what we're tracking, because we track a lot of information. So I'm going to turn it over to the PowerPoint presentation, the other attachment that I gave you guys about the library annual report. And then I can answer questions when we're going through, okay? So the first page of the report was what our vision and mission statement are and what the focus areas are of the plan, okay?
So are you putting up a PowerPoint?
No, it's in the packet. It's like this.
Okay, got it.
Where in the packet?
It should either be before. Yeah, uh-huh. Right there. So I'm going to kind of run through this, okay? Just tell me if you guys need me to slow down or if you have questions, okay?
Okay, so wait, but I am having a hard time. What, can you flash that up again?
It's this report. It's the PowerPoint one that says Newport Public Library Library Annual Report Update, and it has a picture of the library on it, Stormy.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I have so many things open on my computer, and I need to do that. I'm not doing very good with my note taking, I have to tell you.
You're okay.
Very difficult for me. Okay.
You are good. So the first page is the opening thing about this is the annual report. And then the second page says Newport Public Library Strategic Plan 2021-2024. So like I previously mentioned, we're almost a year and a half into the report.
Stormy, you just need to put, we discussed this report.
You don't have to put all this information here.
You don't have to put anything she's saying.
Oh my God, I'm like trying to thank you for telling me that. I'm like frantically.
You're welcome. I could see you struggling there.
Everything that's being said with my one good ear, and I'm freaking out.
She's like, what? No, you're good. We're just discussing this. So the focus areas, to reiterate when we had gone through this before, it's the link between the community's needs, interests, and priorities, and the programs and services a library offers. And so basically, a focus area is what a library does for or offers to the public in an effort to meet a set of well-defined community needs. And so we had 4 focus areas for our strategic plan, which were understanding how to find, evaluate, and use information fluency, celebrating diversity, cultural awareness, welcome to the United States, services for new immigrants, and connecting to the online world, public internet access, okay? And so the first goal was focusing on adults and seniors and having the support that they need to support their literacy skills in order to meet their personal goals and fulfill their responsibilities as members of the community, okay? And there were several objectives underneath this goal that we've already accomplished, okay? So you'll see a nice little picture of the Celtic Harps program. That was the first in-person program that we had post-COVID in the library. The night before, we had the Oregon Humanities program over at the PAC. And then the next day, we had the Celtic Harps, and we had over 100 people that came. It was very exciting. They got to learn about the history of harps, the history of our musicians, how they came up with the music, the history behind. Basically everything. It was interesting. And so there's some statistics here that I want to share with you guys. So
I have a question. I don't understand how, I mean, I loved all these programs, but how do they support literacy?
Because they were talking about, it was focusing on, this is one of the things that fell underneath the goal, Gretchen, when we went through. Uh-huh. With the objective was about having more programs like this, were educational programs. So it was an educational program about Celtic harps, the history of Celtic harps, how they came up with their music. They do a whole history piece when they present and they talk about things. So that particular program fell underneath this goal. I didn't put all the objectives.
Are we kind of saying that literacy, I was reading down in the stats, like literacy equals learning something new by attending a program? Is
yes.
that how you're thinking about it?
Yes. So we offered during the fiscal year 21-22, and the library had provided 15 live program sessions for adults 19 and older, with an attendance count for all the program sessions of 339 attendees. So that's pretty good for 15 programs, especially thinking about COVID. Okay. And then we had to put together a survey. This is one of the things that we had to do as part of the plan, which is in English and in Spanish. You guys can't really see it, that we hand out at every program. Okay. And it has a set of questions about if you have a library card, when's the last time you visited the library, what are the ages of people in your home who use the library, what's your zip code, because this kind of helps us figure out where people are coming from. And then what audience are we not already bringing in? Are we seeing a lot of people who already have library cards? Kind of what's going on? And then we're supposed to have a ranking with it for the library program from 1 to 5. If there's other programs that people would like to see, if there's other books that people would like to see or subjects, if there's other languages that are being spoken at home that we need to do a better job of meeting those needs. So you guys are aware that we have a large Mayan community and they speak Mum. We also have another indigenous language that's spoken here in Nahalt, and we want to be able to serve those needs. If we know what kind of dialects are being spoken in the community, it's going to help us be better prepared and make sure that we have those items in the collection. And then asking people if they have a monthly newsletter, if they want to access the monthly newsletter so they know what's going on. So we put these out in English and Spanish at every program, okay? So we've started handing these out in May. And based of all the ones that we've had that would be categorized as that 19 and up as adults and seniors, we received a 95% approval rating on what we're doing, which is surpassing our goal, which was supposed to be like 60%, which is awesome.
So is this goal one accomplished for the next 3 years, or will next year you be bringing us back one saying what happened for 22-23?
I'm going to give you updates with it, but the goal's technically been accomplished,
okay.
But I'm going to provide updated information about that. Because we set pretty hefty goals, and I know you guys were kind of concerned when we had done that, but if we don't set goals, we're not going to make it there. And then one of the other things I wanted to make sure you guys are aware is we have 20 adult volunteers, and they had worked 1,977.75 hours during the last fiscal year, which is amazing when you think about that. And that falls underneath this goal, too, because you have adults and seniors who are coming in, and it's filling a need in the community. They're learning about the library. So I wanted to give you guys that data, too. Okay, so I'm going to go to the second goal, which is focusing on teens. Maddie! And there's a picture of our Maddie. You're the poster child. And this is this goal focuses on teens learning to evaluate information resources at many levels, increasing their understanding and awareness of the world around them. And so we had several objectives that were underneath this goal that we've also accomplished, too. Already, and I'll provide another update to you guys next year where we stand with everything. And so we had offered 101 live program sessions for our young adults from ages 12 to 18, with an attendance count for all of the program sessions of 2,144 attendees. That's a staggering number, and it's honestly the number that we have the highest is our teens. And I think it really speaks to how many youth feel really safe coming to the library. It's a good problem to have and kind of one of those things that we can brag about that our teens love the library. They feel safe. We had 15 teen library volunteers who worked 563.25 hours. We have a high school student representative, Maddie, on the library advisory board. And we also have a high school BIPOC student representative on the Newport Public Library Foundation board. And then there's some pictures there of Maddie and Vanessa doing library takeout, and then our 3D printer. Goal three was focusing, it's under the same focus area of the understanding how to find, evaluate, and use information fluency. And this goal was also accomplished with the objectives. And for fiscal year 21-22, we had offered 11 live program sessions for ages 0 to 5, with an attendance count for all program sessions of 199 attendees. One thing I need to make sure I point out to you guys is that story time did not start until this fiscal year, the beginning of October. So these statistics are not in here. You guys will see those next year.
So do these statistics only count children, or are the parents with the children counted?
These are the parents and the children, okay. Not two. And then the next one is five. We offered five live program sessions for children 6 to 11 with an attendance count for all program sessions of 65 attendees. These numbers are going to end up being a lot higher next year post-COVID, okay? And then we had 8 live in-person off-site program sessions with an attendance count for all program sessions of 611 attendees.
Like, what would an example of that be?
So National Night Out, going to National Night Out. Pride, going to Pride. Pride wouldn't have been in this, it would have been in this fiscal year when we went to Pride.
So how do you come up with the numbers? The people who come to your table, or how
they come
many
to the table,
the
they interact with you, they check something out, they participate in the activity. We keep count of all that.
Okay,
and then
cool.
We have to put it in a spreadsheet. Then I have to compile everything at the end of the year. It's a lot of data. A lot of data.
You do a lot of counting.
I do a lot of counting. This report takes a lot. The State Library report, 27 hours this year, you guys.
Oh my goodness.
The fourth goal is also under that focus area, which is residents of all ages having the resources and support they need for their research, scholastic, and literacy activities. This goal is in process, so we have not quite completed this, okay? We're getting really close. So one of our things that I mentioned to you guys is that every library program has an assessment component, so we have this, okay? That we were trying to get our library card holders in our service area up from 45% to 60%. We are at 53%. So we are getting very close to that 60%. I don't think we're going to have a problem getting there by the time the strategic plan is done. I think we're actually going to probably surpass it and maybe be in the high 60s, maybe even low 70s by that time. We added more than 5 new kits, materials, and objects to our Library of Things collection. So we have like the Culture Pass, we have mobile hotspots, we have fishing poles, we're gonna have games, we even have trash cleanup kits, which you guys can see the picture. In fiscal year 21-22, the library provided 26 live general interest program sessions with an attendance count for all program sessions of 1,808 people. Okay. We had 48 self-directed activities, which is this is like our kits, our activity kits that we were circulating. This would be passive programs that we'd have in the library that people would wander across. That's what goes under self-directed, okay? These are new statistics that the State Library is asking us to collect. And we had an attendance count for all of the self-directed activities of 5,136, which is amazing. And then I wanted to include how many people we had for library visits, too, because I don't think people realize how busy we are. And we had a door count of 52,389 library visits. That's a lot. It's good. It's a good problem to have.
I have a question. So how are you, how are you actually tracking those library visits? Is it based on the number of people who are checking out books? Is there some kind of a
door?
I mean,
we have door counters on the doors, Stormy. So when people come
do.
In,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have door counters on all the doors in the meeting room, and we have one in our teen room, so we can keep track of how many kids are coming in there too. So we use that information.
Okay.
We compile that every month. And sometimes the door counts aren't working, or we have an issue with one of the doors. So that's noted, and then I note that in the State Library report if we've had issues with it too, because that could mess with your counts.
Okay. And these are obviously gross, not net. So there could be multiple people coming. The same person could be entering multiple times. It doesn't really matter. Or, never mind. I don't want to waste time. I do have some more questions, but it can wait to a personal conversation.
Okay. Our fifth goal is celebrating diversity and cultural awareness. This goal is also in process. So this one was residents will have programs and services that accurately and positively represent their culture and history, that residents will have access to resources that allow for comfortable information gathering, either independently or with support from library staff. And so for fiscal year 21-22, the library's been focusing on cultural programs, which I've talked to you guys a lot about, that are bilingual and they're open for everyone in the community to attend. So we've been doing like a monthly Loteria event, which that's growing. We do Spanish movie night. So the movies are shown in Spanish with English captions. We're doing a quarterly Noche de Diversión event, which is a Friday evening from 6 to 8, and it's after the library closes. And we did one in October and we had the art bus come. And then we're handing out books to families so they can start their own home library. And the books are bilingual and they're usually purchased by Rotary was the first one. We had Northwest Staffing that purchased the books for the second event. We have some leftover books that we'll use for the third time, or we'll have another community partner that helps us pay for those books so we can get them in the hands of families. It's great. We have a full-time bilingual community resource specialist, Rachel Diego Leon. We have a cultural diversity representative on the Library Advisory Committee, Millie. And then we also have Jose, who is our BIPOC high school student representative on the Library Foundation. Those are really big victories that we should celebrate. And then we have 1,950 physical Spanish language items, which include Mayan and Nahuatl materials, okay? This does not include the items that are going to be purchased down in Guadalajara in a couple of weeks. So this number is going to really grow. And one of the goals that we had set was that we wanted to have 5% of our library's print materials consist of non-English language materials. It is currently at 2.6. which that number is also going to grow because we're going to be purchasing $10,000 of materials in a couple of weeks. And we've put more money towards this in our collection. Do you have questions about that one? And then goal 6 is focusing on Welcome to the United States services for new immigrants. And so new immigrants and refugees will have information on citizenship, language learning, employment, public schooling, health and safety, available social services, and any other topics needed to participate in American life. And this goal is also in process. And there's a picture of Rachel and I at our first quarterly Noche de Diversión event, and I want to make sure to point out that we had 77 people attend each of these events. It's been really, really successful. Wow. And a lot of people from the first time have come back for the second one. And we're seeing a lot of those families coming in. We're seeing movement with the collection. It's really great. So we're hosting quarterly Noche de Diversión after hours events. We have staff that's assisting patrons with sponsorship of Ukrainian refugees. This has been happening a lot, actually. And we hope to have a program actually about this in the future. Because I think it would be really interesting to people, especially with what's going on in Ukraine. We've also acquired citizenship flashcards and resources in English and Spanish. And I got this at the Public Library Association conference in Portland in March. So we have cards in English, we have cards in Spanish, we have little booklets that can help you study for the citizenship test. It's awesome. I will be going down to select Spanish language materials and indigenous resources at FEAL, which is in Guadalajara, and it's the largest Spanish language book fair in the world. And it's supposed to be more normal this year because last year was really weird. And then we've been receiving a lot of positive feedback from our Latinx and indigenous community members about library services and reducing barriers to access, because that was one of the goals that we had. One of the objectives that we had underneath this goal is reducing barriers to access, and we're really trying to do that. So one of the things that we're looking at right now is our library card application and cleaning that up, because it's kind of intimidating if you have trust issues maybe with signing up for a library card and being tracked. We want to put those worries at ease so it's not a barrier and people want to come in. And then the last goal was connecting to the online world public internet access. And so in fiscal year 21-22, the library provided 74,918 website visits. We had 5,613 sessions of public internet computers and devices for a total session time of 3,726 hours and 23 minutes. So this is our public computers that are downstairs. It's pretty amazing. And then we offered 84,960 wireless sessions. And then our library to go materials, which is one of the databases that we offer, our circulation was 21,646, which is awesome. And this is also counting the money that the foundation put towards our library to go advantage program, because those statistics have gone up too. And then we have 22 mobile hotspots, and they've circulated 478 times. And we're buying more this fiscal year because they're all checked out.
So these numbers seem really big. What? Why is this not accomplished? What's missing?
We need to be doing more instructional efforts with it. And then we also, the technology that's supposed to be checking out, like our e-readers that'll be loaded and the laptops, have not quite rolled out yet. And those are a couple of the objectives that we had underneath this goal that we haven't quite met.
Okay.
We're close, very close. And then I left you guys a beautiful picture about read books and love libraries. So I don't know if you have questions about that, but I was trying to pull the information from the state statistical report related to the strategic plan so you guys kind of know how we're doing. We are doing very well. Usually you don't accomplish goals that early in a strategic plan, but we've kind of knocked out a couple of them already.
Any questions for Laura?
I just tell you, I have goosebumps. This is beautiful.
Thank you, Nelly. Do you guys have questions about the statistical report? Anything that's in here? I mean, I get that I can answer really quickly. I mean, I could put this on the agenda in January too. If we need more time.
Meaning what? That you'll, after we've had a chance to process this, we can ask you questions again in January?
Do you guys want me to do that? So you can look at everything and you guys can ask me all the questions? Okay. Because there is a lot of information that's here and you're like, what? and the report changes a little bit each year too. It's pretty amazing just to see. We're doing really well.
Yay. Way to go, Laura.
Small successes.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Okay, wow. So we have a 20-minute hard out tonight because Maddie and Laura and I are going to paint night, which starts at, Laura and I have to open the doors at 6:20. So do you want to start on the goal setting and vision revisions?
Yes.
Or I'm sorry, breakouts?
Breakouts. Okay, so I put in the packet, I had put documents that were sent to department heads about our goal report from committee members. And I had put, the very last attachment was City of Newport, Oregon goals. And I put this in the memo I wrote for you guys too, which ours was dealing with library policy development and review, that we will review development of library policies and review existing library policies under an EDI lens. And the board will continue to review 1 to 3 policies per meeting until all of the policies have been reviewed and revised if necessary. We are still working on this goal, and I had this as one of our committee goals the previous year, too, and I feel like we're not going to get through all of our policies revision, so I kind of want to roll this one into next year, too.
Great.
Is that okay with you guys? I just have to give a report to everybody about this, City Council.
That seems like an easy one if it's something we're still working on.
Okay.
Agreed.
And I gave you guys quite a bit of documents because they sent me all this stuff too about what all of these little areas. We don't have to read through everything, but I wanted to give you everything so you guys have all the information. I don't know if other goals come to mind that we want to tackle as a committee. If we want to be doing more training at these meetings, if we want to do a yearly board retreat where we can lay out goals for the year, do like on a Saturday, if you guys have certain things in mind, I want to make sure I bring that up to you.
Melly,
I just have thank you. I have a quick on the, it's on the document that says goals number 6. How can we identify what is under the column for V2040 strategies? The F1, F2, F3, where can we, is that somewhere that I'm not seeing?
It was one of the documents I attached, and it was really colorful. It was a PDF, and it said enhancing a livable region. It didn't print out right. And then it has the different sections, like the D1, D2. It's kind of small.
All right, I'll find it.
So the F1s were the ones that I pulled in there, and I have to pull it back to the 2040 vision. Any of the goals that we do, we have to tie it back to the vision.
Okay.
Which I don't think is that hard to do.
So this is a lot to digest. What specifically do we need to accomplish tonight? I mean, we've agreed for one goal to keep going through the policy. What else do you need us to do tonight?
Do you guys have anything that comes to mind that you think the Library Advisory Board could be doing better? Do you want to do training, incorporate training into our meetings where we have a training session? Do you want...
what would we need training on? We've never done that.
They do Library Board. They do United for Libraries does Library Board of Trustees training. So understanding what your responsibilities are as Library Advisory Committee members. You remember when Peggy came and she went through all of that? That was considered a training. When I've shown you guys videos before we were over here and at the library, we had done that too. I don't know how easy it would be to do it over here. Probably pretty easy. If we want to do like a board retreat once a year.
My concern about the board retreat is at this point we don't have everyone who's willing to get together in person. We're primarily by Zoom. So I think a board retreat by Zoom would be hard unless other people have other ideas. And I see Melly has her hand up, so maybe she has an idea. Looks like she does. Go ahead, Melly.
My idea has to do with, is there an opportunity to provide for families or parents a way to support their child's reading by the strategies and the techniques that are out, you know, researched and they're out there, but maybe they don't know. And here's a, for instance, there's, I know what it is, but like, for instance, that Zoom that I was talking about before, where it gives parents things they can do to help stimulate questions without having to think about it because it's already there and they get to see that. So it would be something like showing them how to use it, showing them the opportunity. Is there something like that where we can do for adding something additional for the families to get a foundation of how they can support their children with literacy?
Well, those sound like really good programming ideas to me, but I'm not sure that...
That would be more of a library department goal, I think, than the advisory committee.
But I think they're awesome goals.
I think
goals.
It's awesome. I wrote it down.
Okay.
Who would really talk to at the library to share her ideas on that? Because I think those are really good programming ideas.
Vanessa and Linda. Linda should be the point of contact because that's her area.
Okay, Linda and okay.
Can you put them in put them in contact with each other?
Yep.
Because I think as a parent that would be a great.
And then it's free. It's free also. And then the other one. I'll chat with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be good.
We love free. That's awesome.
We do. One of the other things, like, do you guys remember when I was going through all the equity, diversity, and inclusion and anti-racism toolkit? That was considered a training, too. Is that something that you want to do more of? I'm just going to throw some ideas out there. Or do we want to stick with one goal and see how we do?
I mean, I've enjoyed the trainings that you've done, but I don't want to... frankly, put more on your plate to have to plan trainings. So
what if we did it like a quarterly thing, like every
well, we only have 6 meetings a year, so I really
so maybe
think
maybe two meetings we could do training that'd be more focused on training.
I do think it would also be helpful to set a yearly agenda. Like, we only have 6 meetings, but at this meeting is when we address these things. So we do the policy stuff every month, but if we had a specific goal for each month, that might be helpful.
Tell me how you worded that again, Gretchen.
I don't remember.
You said yearly planning, like
I just just have a year a planning session agenda. To kind of lay out what our yearly agenda would be. So we would know, like on Library Foundation, we always know the June meeting we're going to do the budget. I think if this group had that, so like we need to be sure and be there in February because in February we do a training, and in April we do something else. I'm not sure what
March
those
is
things
budget.
Would be.
I can go over budget stuff with you guys and budgeting in areas that I may need your advice on.
Oh yeah, we're January, March. Sorry.
Yeah, January, March. What do you think about that? Do you think that would be so? If we did one about having two of our meetings having more focus on training, like library advisory
but we
committee
don't
training.
We have to decide now. We could just make that our goal.
Yeah.
That we're going to. Set up a yearly schedule.
And the yearly schedule. Okay, so I'm going to put those in there. And then I'll tie it to the strategies with the 2040 vision with that too. And one thing you guys should know is when I lay this stuff out, everything can change. It doesn't have to. If we don't complete it, it's okay. If we don't meet all the objectives for the goal, it's okay too.
Any other goal ideas out there?
So we have the one about reviewing policies.
Maybe we should make one of our January goals to be to review goals.
There you go. That's a good one. It is. It really is because she's giving us so much data that to just push her, like, for instance, the one you said about the library cards. I know that if we did something in collaborative with a push with the schools, I know you'd get a whole bunch more.
Yeah.
And then that's where you can more, you know, the information could attach to it to go home about what all is happening at the library.
Yep.
I also think it would be easier for you, Laura, if we had a laid out calendar so you'd know, okay, November we need to have less stuff because we're going to go over this yearly update that you just did, who I already forgot the name of. But I think it would be easier for you.
Yeah. So if I put a draft together and bring it to the board in January, does that sound okay for us to review?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. So the ones I have, you guys, is the one current goal about reviewing policies, having 2 meetings focused on like library training, on advisory board member training, and then having a yearly planning session with all the agenda items. And I'll put underneath that one of the objective is in January we would use that meeting to review goals and kind of lay out the calendar. And then I'll put some stuff that we could fill in there. Like November would be when I go over the state annual report with you and the state statistical report. March is budgeting. Maybe we do budgeting even earlier than that.
But we could do a training over the summer and maybe do something fun because we could do it outside.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
If we do something like that, does it still have to be kept to a strict time limit, or would it be something that was had more flexibility?
Well, I mean, because we're the advisory committee, I think we're required to have our meetings recorded on Zoom so that all our big fans out there could watch them.
Public meeting laws. Public meeting laws.
We certainly plan a social, but we can't discuss library policy or events at that because then we would be violating the meeting laws.
All right, that makes sense. Thanks, Gretchen.
I know. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
But speaking of that, Karen is not here tonight. Just a second, Ellen. Karen is not here tonight, but Karen is going to be stepping down from the foundation. So we like to have 2 members of the board also on the foundation. I am one of them. Karen has been that person for the last couple years, but she is stepping down. I think her last Library Foundation meeting is in December. She's going to come to the one that's the Christmas party, because the foundation can have parties and have our meetings at the same time.
That's not fair.
I know, right?
But if someone, we are hoping that someone would be willing to come to the foundation, the first foundation meeting that you would be required to come to, I guess required is a strong word, but would be where you'd be stepping in would be February, but you would also get an invite to the December Christmas party that's at Libba Sager's house and was really, really fun last year. So that you could, quote, meet everyone. So if there's anyone who's interested in joining the foundation, let us know. And Ellen had a question.
Melly, did you want to say something about that?
Oh, no. I think with my schedule that's changing because of my changes I'm doing, I think I'll have more time. So I would really enjoy that. I think that'd be neat to get into that. So I'll let you know, and I'll talk about with y'all later.
Great. That would be awesome. Let us know before the first, it's the first Wednesday, right, Laura? The first Wednesday in December, because that's when the second Wednesday in December, because that's when the Christmas party is, and you don't want to miss it.
Libba has really cute holiday decorations at her house and cute little puppies.
Yes.
All right. You know.
What kind of puppies? I don't remember. What kind of puppies? You remember what kind of puppies they are, Gretchen? They're tiny.
The kind that the queen has?
Corgis?
Yeah. I think they're corgis.
I need
Don't
pictures.
Tell Libba I can't remember, but yeah, I think don't tell they're her on corgis.
And Ellen, you had your hand up before.
Yes. You know, Gretchen, you said about some people don't feel comfortable meeting in person. I have just been Zooming for convenience. Is there a preference by the board that we...
I don't think so.
Is our goal to get back together, or is this...
It would be good to have everybody back in here. It'd be really good with that, but I know... COVID is definitely, and then that's impacted in schedules. And I think it's helping with retention, with keeping you guys on the board, having a little bit of flexibility. I have not been told that we have to be totally in person at this point. Okay. I know that we can offer hybrid as an option.
It is not difficult for us to see or hear you. I don't know what difficulties are on your end because I've always been here. I've never Zoomed. Because I think I'm required to be here, or at least Laura told me that, and I believe
she's got to be in front of her flags.
I know. I do love my flags. It's true. But I don't have a preference. I like the fact that everyone's coming. We very rarely have anyone miss at all. Karen's out of town. That's the only reason she's not here. So I think high attendance is more important for me.
And we're one of those committees that we haven't had some of the difficulties of some of the other city committees. Because you guys are very involved and you're here. If you do come, I will print out a packet of information for you.
She does do this, but I feel really guilty because this is like a half a tree here today. And I keep telling her that if you just print the agenda to me, that I would bring my computer and click on the links like the rest of you. But
I use the back part for scratch paper. That's not double-sided, so you guys know.
Okay, well, yeah, I just didn't know, and you know, I'm not uncomfortable being with you guys. I just was picking out a convenience.
Great.
That's the same here. Also, I have another this is totally selfish, but I can justify it better because of gas prices, but I live out toward Eddyville, and I am already in Newport on Wednesday mornings at the PAC. And so for me to, it's just to make two trips into Newport in the same day is just not very viable. It's not impossible. I guess you could say, oh, it's only once every 2 months. That should be something I could do. But the convenience factor, it definitely plays into that.
Well, maybe that's one of those things we could put on our calendar that we want to have one meeting a year that people try to come in person, and then afterwards we could go do a social event where we do not discuss the library board policies or procedures. But then people would know in advance what month that happens in. Like the foundation does it in December.
Yeah. I think that would be fantastic. I mean, I haven't seen any of most any of you in person since my interview session, which was last year. And that's horrible. And, you know, that's on me. It definitely is. But if there were perhaps a more stringent request to make it in person,
they're okay right now.
No, they don't care.
I think they're okay right now. But I can entice you. Gershon, I can entice you.
Yvonne, I feel like you had something to say and I cut you off. So do you want to say it now?
Oh, no, I didn't have anything to contribute. Okay. I do appreciate the option, definitely. I'm still one of those people that's working in more of a cautious circle right now. So I really do appreciate the flexibility. I enjoy spending time with you all, and I haven't had any technical issues. But I do agree that when we're trying to prioritize the ability to have all of us together, certainly when we need a quorum for voting or anything like that, that is definitely more doable when we open a possibility for Zoom. So I do appreciate that. Thank you.
I intend to have Zoom as long as the city will let us. So unless the city says you cannot do it by Zoom, which I have no idea why they would do that, I intend to continue to have it because it allows you to attend from wherever you are. So even if you're at work or away or whatever. So
good.
Well, it's been really fun, everyone on Zoom. Oh, now Laura wants to say something else.
I can't show it to you. I can't show it to you, but we have a winner of our mini tiny art show and our library card, banned book library card design contest. Susan Skydema was the winner, and she did this really cool design, Keep Your Bands Off My Books. I'll send it to you guys. You guys can't really see because it's kind of small.
Laura, next time, can you bring a computer so you can log in so you can show them stuff?
Yeah, I can show you stuff. You guys can't see it right here. It's really small.
He keeps trying to show you all stuff, and we're just like tiny little dots. Maddie and I can see it, and we think it's pretty funny, but...
They'll roll out in October. They'll roll out in April because it's National Library Week, but we're going to make it National Library Month so we can celebrate libraries the entire month.
And the banned book cards are sponsored by the foundation.
They are. This whole thing. It's
okay, so we're gonna be late. So I'm going to adjourn. We're off to paint, and maybe we'll bring them next in January to show them to you all, at least photos.
I cannot guarantee it's gonna be. I cannot guarantee mine is going to be very pretty.
I can guarantee you mine is not going to be pretty, but we're going to have lots of fun.
We are.
Fine.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Laura, you're wonderful.
Thank you, Millie. It's been a long week.
Bye.
I'm signing off. I'm